Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Mass Monologues. Today, I have with me Craig Merriweather, and he is going to tell us about what he does and introduce himself.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the invitation to be on your podcast. I'm a hypnotherapist. I do clinical hypnotherapy, meaning I work with people around the issues of trauma and anxiety, depression, issues of like pain and healing acceleration, boosting the immune system, things like that. I'm a medical hypnosis specialist. I'm also a neurolinguistic programming specialist and founded Arizona Integrative Hypnotherapy. I live in Flagstaff, Arizona. Since the issues of 2020, a lot of things, a lot of my sessions are over Zoom now. So I work with people around the country, around the world, actually. And basically what I do is I help people who are dealing with negative emotions, limiting beliefs that may be keeping them from reaching their full potential, that may be blocking them from moving forward. I've been doing this work for around 12 years and working with people with things like early childhood trauma, or maybe cancer patients with pain control, veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, or maybe students with test anxiety, actors, musicians with anxiety around auditions or confidence, or athletes with peak performance. So if you're dealing with overwhelm or fear and anxiety, and I know a lot of us are over the course of the last decade or so, hypnotherapy can be a wonderful modality to help with that.
Okay, so I want to ask for those people who are listening to the podcast and might not be familiar with hypnotherapy, can you give us a brief explanation of what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. Hypnotherapy is a modality that helps program, if you will, your subconscious mind. And it's not that I'm doing that to you. It's that you're going to fix yourself, because the instructions that are installed within your subconscious mind may be to produce that fear or that anxiety or those blocks towards your progress in life came from maybe some sort of hurt or pain or trauma in life. And not to say that it was your fault or that it should have happened, and certainly not to blame the victim or anything like that, but you install some instructions on how to keep yourself safe. And that may be by hiding or some form of procrastination or intense fear or chronic anxiety or anger. But you're the one who put those instructions in there. And that becomes very empowering, because when you realize, well, if you're the one who put them in there, you're the one who can take them out and put more resourceful, resilient instructions for your life. So what hypnotherapy does, it's not talk therapy. We don't sit and talk about your issues and your problems over and over again, session after session for 2 years. What we do is work specifically with the subconscious mind, that unconscious part of mind that's really running the show. Now, there's nothing magical or mystical about this work. In fact, the word hypnosis comes from Greek mythology and the Greek god Hypnos, who is the Greek god of sleep. And back in the 1850s, there was a doctor by the name of Dr. James, and he was a surgeon. Back in the 1850s, there's no fancy hospitals, there's no fancy anesthesia. So if you're having your leg amputated, you're biting down on a stick. Or maybe they give you a blow to the head to knock you unconscious. What Dr. James Bard started doing was using this deep trance state, putting people so far under into trance that it looked like they were in a coma. And then he could do amputations. He could cut people open and take out tumors and sew them back up. He'd deal with war injuries and things like that. Certainly over in India and Egypt and South America and the Aboriginals of Australia and Greece and wherever, they were using trance in their healing and spiritual work thousands upon thousands of years ago. But in 1850, Dr. James Bard started using this trance state and needing a word to describe it to his colleagues, to talk about it, to write about it. He decided to name it after the Greek god of sleep. So he called it hypnosis. And since that time, since whatever the last 170 years or so, this word has grown to encompass all sorts of altered states of consciousness, if you will. And that may sound like a fancy term or a strange term, even altered state of consciousness, but really it's just brainwave state. And we're constantly moving in and out of altered states of consciousness all day long. If maybe back in school, there was a class that you didn't like so much, for me, it was math class. So back in high school math class, it got boring. So I just started staring out the window and I moved inward. I moved into a day state. I've just altered my state of consciousness by moving down to the alpha brainwave state, the theta brainwave state. And what's interesting, when you do that, and you can do that just by watching TV, you do that by being bored in a meeting. You can do that by being creative and getting in the zone or getting in state. You have altered your state of consciousness. So it's something we do naturally all day long, multiple times a day, most noticeable when you're falling asleep or waking up in the morning. What we do is we do it on purpose. And by doing that, you quiet down that conscious level of mind and you can access that subconscious where the hurt and the pain is held. You hold on to that sometimes just for protection, for safety. It just may not be very resilient. So with the work we do, we quiet down the body and mind, and just in by being in a restful state, you don't even have to be in a deep trance state. Just by quieting down the mind, resetting the nervous system, you can access the subconscious mind and heal that hurt and pain. And that's why this work doesn't take a long time. Unfortunately, talk therapy sometimes gets a bad rep, and I think talk therapy can be very helpful, very healing. I don't want to give it this talk therapy, done it myself. It's always great to have a second pair of eyes on something. But I think where talk therapy kind of gets frustrating is that you spend 80, 90, 100 sessions over 2 years talking about the same thing, and you still feel awful at the end of it. What we do is we bypass that logical, analytical, conscious mind that neuroscience says is only 5% of mind, and we head over into the 95% of mind, the subconscious mind, and do the healing work. The healing work can happen in a safe and gentle way, and hypnotherapy is a great way to do it.
Okay, so now I just want to ask you about an example scenario so I know more about your method and how you work with clients. Say I am someone who's had a lot of childhood trauma in the past, and I come to you. It's our first session. How do you get into it? How would you approach the session? And what are we doing in the session?
Sure. The first thing we probably would have done is had a consultation call, just like a free consultation call. We're going to chat for 20, 30 minutes over the phone and just talk about hypnotherapy. A lot of people like yourself are new to this. They don't really, they see the movies, they see the TV shows, they see the comedy shows in Las Vegas or in comedy clubs, and they're apprehensive, they're nervous. And so we talk about it and I explain just like I just did just there, what it is, and then answer any questions and talk a little bit about what they want to work on. Again, this isn't talk therapy. We don't need to go deep into every detail of it. Just kind of a guidepost on what you want to work on. You want more confidence because you have a speech coming up? Are you working with test anxiety? Do you have some trauma that you went through when you were a child? You don't even know what it is. You just feel a lot of anger all the time, or you have this chronic anxiety. You have fear of flying. Whatever it is, let's get a kind of a guidepost of what you want to work on. Maybe it's detailed. Maybe it's just really general. And then we're going to set up an appointment. Generally, I like the first appointment or two to be 90 minutes. And that seems like a long time, especially when your talk therapy sessions are around 50 minutes. But that just gives us a lot of time to do this healing work. Now, let's say you're dealing with an extraordinary trauma, maybe back when in your 20s or your teenage years, or even when you're a little kid, physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. We're talking heavy trauma. We would not specifically address that in the first. I don't like throwing people into the deep end of the pool and they swim. They may have been holding on to this very tightly for decades. And so what we want to do is ease somebody into the pool, like a little kid gets in a pool, dip your toes in, then ankles, knees, waist, chest, and then you're swimming in a pool. And then if the next session, if need be, we'll swim over to the deep end. But in that first session, what we're going to do is some cleansing and cleaning and letting go work. Start taking off that armor. And what we want to do is reset the nervous system. So we're going to do some healing work around the feeling state in the body. And with trauma, with pain, with hurt, there comes feelings. And describe it how you will. Maybe just hurt or pain or tension or pressure or anxiety or anger, fear, whatever it is. Let's deal with those feeling states and start resetting the nervous system. That alone, after maybe chit-chatting a little bit about what you want to work on, give you some more details, answer any more questions, that first process might take 45, 50 minutes. But it's a nice, relaxing process. And once we remove, if you will, get rid of the anxious feelings or the hurt or the pain, we're going to fill you up with something else. Joy, happiness, love, confidence, whatever it is you want. Because, you know, that what we learned back in science class, nature pours a vacuum. And so we want to fill you up with something. So that first process really just allows you to shed that overcoat, that armor you have of the hurt and the pain. So your nervous system starts to reset. You start feeling better. You start feeling more confident. You start feeling more hopeful. With the rest of the time, depending on what somebody wants to work on, there may be a technique and exercise to teach to help reinforce the work. Definitely, there's going to be recordings you'll want to listen to during this next week to start practicing, because what is strongest within your mind is what you do over and over again. What you practice, you get better at. We all know that, whether you're riding a bicycle or learning to walk or learning a musical instrument, learning to draw or paint. The more you do it, the better you get at it in dance or martial arts or something. But what if you're practicing anxiety? What if you're practicing anger? You're just going to get better at it. So in this lead up to the second session, where we may do some deeper healing work, you want to practice. You want to be listening to some recordings. If you just have 5 minutes, 10 minutes, do something to just reset your nervous system, turn off the sympathetic stress response, turn on the parasympathetic relaxation response, and just settle into this new way of being, acclimate to this new way of being, and reinforce the healing work we did in that first session. Then in about a week or so, we'll do a second session. Again, depending on what people want to work on, but we'll do a second session, maybe the deeper trauma, and heal that. And again, it's not that I'm going to fix you, or even that hypnotherapy in and of itself is going to fix you. You're going to fix yourself because you know what the problem is. And more importantly, you know what the answer is. You know what to do about it. That's how powerful you are. Just oftentimes in this, maybe this is a Western culture thing, or maybe just a human being thing, we often look to other people to fix us. And certainly if I'm in a car accident or my appendix is about to burst, yes, take me to the hospital and get me to a doctor. But sometimes in this work that we're talking about here, we look to somebody else to fix the hurt and pain, but they don't know what it is. That's why talk therapy can take a long time, because it takes months just to try and figure out what it is. I have a quick example, if I can, about this, and using a real example of somebody I worked with. A few years ago, I was doing some classes for the Cancer Support Community of Arizona. And this is an organization that helps people going through that situation, that horrible situation. And I was doing Zoom classes on pain control and healing acceleration and boosting your immune system, things like that. And there's a woman who was in the class, and she, I was guessing she's probably about 70 years old. And she had been to two of the classes, and there's 10, 12, 15 people in these classes over Zoom. And she'd been to two of the classes, and on the third class, she was early to the class. I'm early to class. It's my class. And so we're just chit-chatting, waiting for other people to show up and start the class. And she asked me if hypnotherapy works with procrastination. And yeah, it works with procrastination. Procrastination is a safety issue. Your mind is trying to protect you from something, and you want that fear or anxiety about walking down the dark alley at midnight because it's a shortcut home. You don't want to do that. You want those warning signals not to do that. Take the lightest streets where there's lots of people around. Don't peer too far over the edge of the canyon to get a better view. Don't pet the rattlesnake or the nice bear that's in the middle of the trail. You want that hesitation. If there's a fight in the street or in the bar or the restaurant or whatever, you want to move away, make yourself smaller. So there's this protection, a safety protocol, self-preservation around that. But when it becomes unresourceful, now you have procrastination where you're moving away from something that could be very beneficial to you. So anyway, that can be helped with hypnotherapy. It's a mindset issue. And what's interesting about this work, when you realize you're going to be doing some healing work, when the subconscious mind gets that message, we have healing work, we made an appointment, the gears start turning. And it does this thing of like, why work on a problem when we can work on the problem? And so we actually set up an appointment for the very next day. I had opening in the afternoon. So about 24 hours later, we have a solo session over Zoom. And she comes to the session, gets on the Zoom call. She says, I know I told you I want to work on procrastination, but what I really want to work on is why I don't matter in life. And this is a 70-year-old woman who thinks she doesn't matter in life. So there's a feeling state that comes with that. And just like you can differentiate between fear and anxiety and anger and overwhelming worry, love, joy, and happiness, there's a feeling state to not mattering in life. And you feel it somewhere in the body. These are warning signals, these negative charged emotions, anxiety, fear, anger. They're warning signals that there's danger. And to create that feeling state, you have to change brain chemistry. You have to start creating adrenaline and cortisol, these neuropeptides, molecules that send the message of emotion to the body, literal molecules of fear, molecules of anxiety. The only way to change brain chemistry in this way, in the way that we're talking about here, is to have a thought or access a memory. And so there's a direct connection between that feeling state and the memory or the thought that created it. Even if it's all unconscious, you don't even know you're having that accessing that memory because of some trigger in the external environment. There's a direct connection. There's a tether. between that feeling state and the connection. So sometimes it's just as easy in this work of therapeutic hypnosis to follow that feeling state back to the thought that originated it. The first time you ever felt that feeling of not mattering or feeling that anger or feeling that fear. And so we do some deep work in the session and we get to the point where we're going to do a regression. We're going to go back to the first time she ever felt this. We're going to do this in a safe way and in a very gentle way. But we need to heal that root issue, that foundational issue that is causing this, these instructions for her to not matter in life. And so I do a countdown, 10 down to one on one, allow your subconscious mind to take you to that first time you ever felt that feeling of not mattering in life. And where are you? And she says, I'm standing up in my crib and my father's screaming at me because I just won't stop crying. Now, I don't know, standing up in your crib, I'm guessing that 12 months old, 14 months old. And if she's 70-ish years old, that's the late 1950s, early 1960s, I'm guessing. And back then, men don't know how to nurture children very well. And maybe dad's having a bad day, a bad week, a bad life. And here's this baby crying. He doesn't know what to do about it. Mom's out of the house. And the only thing he knows how to do just to get some peace and quiet in the house is to scream louder than the baby and tell the baby to shut up. And in that instant, that child, just this one-year-old child, a year-and-a-half-old child, it has to justify what's happening. And here's this person who's supposed to nurture her, supposed to love her, supposed to take care of her, supposed to protect her. Now it's screaming at her. And the only way her mind could justify what is going on within her unconscious mind is that she doesn't matter. I guess I just don't matter if this is the way this person is going to treat me. And she held on to that instruction for some 70 years until one day she decided to change it. And she did. And there's this perception that healing and this type of healing takes a long time. And I think that comes from talk therapy because you sit there for 2 years talking about not mattering in life. You know, how long in talk therapy was it going to take her to get back to being 1 year old, 2 years old? And so with this work, you know what the problem is. Your mind is, your unconscious mind is trying to protect you from that and gives you the warning signals of not mattering. So you want to back away from the danger. She knew what the problem was and she allowed her subconscious level of mind to do the healing work. And just as you can install hurt and pain and trauma in an instant, why wouldn't you be able to heal it in an instant? And so that's the work we do. And so in this case, with this person, she had three group sessions, group classes around pain control and healing, something totally different than what she needed to work on emotionally. She was working on physical health issues. She had three group sessions of about an hour, and then she did one solo session, and that was it. That's all she needed to do. And I heard from her for a year or so afterwards. She'd send me an email every now and then, and she's doing fantastic. And so that's how powerful you are. And again, I'm not here to fix you. I'm here to help facilitate. I'm here to lifeguard while you're swimming safely and gently in the pool to do your own healing work. And that's why the stuff is so powerful.
Wow. Yes, that is an amazing, beautiful story. And it must be an amazing job to be able to help someone in that way and see the impact that you've created. I want to know now for, let's say, a performer with performance anxiety, if I use the same method you used on this client of yours, would you put them in a trance, take them back to the first experience they had performing that was negative or that didn't leave the best impact on them and work from there? Or would you approach that differently?
It might be similar depending on what the performance anxiety is related to. We'd certainly start off that first session with how I described it, just working with the actual anxiety and overwhelm and worry about it and teaching processes to turn off the stress response. But if that performance anxiety is related to a horrible incident, embarrassing incident, humiliating incident, maybe back there in the school play in the sixth grade and it didn't go so well, and now every time they have to audition or actually do a performance, they get really nervous and anxious. Yeah, we might need to do some work around that and change the instructions on how to handle that and maybe deal with the fear and the embarrassment around that and heal the child. And that was part of the work we did with that person I was talking about. You can heal the child. The mind can't tell the difference between what's real and what's imagined. And that's why a nightmare can feel so scary. You can, with your imagination, change how you feel within your body and change the structures within your mind. And you can heal the child. And if there needs to be healing in the past. That can happen. But a big part of this, as I'm sure most artists know, is also allowing yourself the time before performance to put yourself in state. And you were saying just a minute ago, oh, would you put somebody in trance? I would suggest that people are already in a trance state, whatever they're doing, especially if you're having an automatic unconscious reaction to something that hasn't even happened. If you start thinking, oh my God, play starts, and all of a sudden you're getting anxious, even though you're sitting at home. I would say you're already putting yourself in a trance state to create a feeling, a physiological change within your body, automatically, unconsciously. I think you're already in a trance state. And it really comes down to choosing a different trance state of what you want to be in. And a big part of that is just, one, practicing at home, because again, what is strongest within your mind, strongest in your body, is what you do over and over again. What you practice, you get better at. Are you practicing anxiety? Are you practicing being nervous before an audition or before a performance? Before you walk into the studio, start painting or doing the woodwork or whatever. Do you get nervous? Oh, I don't know if I can. I did that one project really well, and now I don't know if I can do it again. You're trancing yourself into a state. And then if you practice that over and over again, you're literally going to wire that into your brain. So there is work to be done on even a daily basis, even if it's just 5-10 minutes, of just putting yourself in the state you want to feel. If you want to feel confident, you want to feel joyful, you want to feel happy, there's work to be done around that. Example being, the Dalai Lama still meditates every day. He's 89 years old, and as head of the Tibetan Buddhist community, he has to deal with that situation. And you read his books, he talks about the anger and the overwhelm and sorrow. But of course, the Chinese government is still bulldozing down his monasteries in Tibet and still arresting his monks, torturing his monks. So of course, it's going to cause, he's a human being, he's going to feel those emotions. But he doesn't want that to be who he is. So every day, he practices loving kindness and compassion meditation because he wants to make sure that's his essence, that's who he is. And if anybody was to have it down by now, you think it'd be that guy. He's not married. He doesn't have kids. He has a staff of people to meet his every need and want pretty much since he was like, 5 or 6 years old. And yet he's still doing the work. He's still doing the practice. Yo-Yo Ma, considered one of the greatest cello players alive today, if not the greatest cello player alive today, 67, 68 years old. And he's still practicing 3-4 hours every day. Been playing the cello since he was 4. If anybody was to phone it in, kick back and just cast the checks, it'd be that guy just playing Mozart and Carnegie Hall. But he practices every day because he wants to master this music, master this art form, master this instrument. Anybody, master anything, a 10th degree black belt in Taekwondo is going to practice every day. So you can have all the confidence, the joy, the happiness you want, but there does come practice with that, even if it's just 5 minutes. And if there's hurt or pain or, yeah, maybe there was a humiliating experience and your subconscious mind wants to protect you from experiencing that again. Your subconscious mind is for you. It's for your protection, for your safety, for your survival, which unfortunately might not actually mean happiness, joy, and prosperity. It's for your survival. And if you have had pain in the past, hurt in the past, humiliation, embarrassment, anger, fear, it wants to protect you from experiencing that again. And so if an audition or a performance or just walking into that studio to do a piece of art, it might fill you with anxiety because you don't want to get hurt again, or your subconscious mind doesn't want you to get hurt again. And so that's where you can end up with procrastination or feeling really nervous and anxious. And so I think there's a long answer to a short question. But one of the aspects of if you're getting nervous before a performance, it may just be fear of failure, could be fear of judgment. And these are all mindset aspects that can be helped in therapeutic hypnosis. But it also may be, yeah, maybe you did have some hurt and pain in the past, some humiliation or anger around a performance situation in the past. And that would more likely maybe necessitate, man, let's do some regression therapy and heal that child or that teenager or that person in their 20s or whatever. So again, I think a long answer to a short question, but yeah, it can help really well with this kind of stuff.
No, you have such insightful answers to my questions. Now I'd like to know where people can connect with you. How can they join your online sessions? Do you have social media platforms that they can go and check out?
Yeah, the best way to find me, two ways, probably my websites. I do social media, but not as consistently as I do email and website stuff. And so I'm in Arizona, here in the US of A, and the name of my hypnotherapy practice is Arizona Integrative Hypnotherapy. If you just Google hypnosis in Flagstaff or Flagstaff Hypnosis, You'll see me in the Google search, Arizona Integrated Hypnotherapy. You can also go to aceanytest.com, and that's a course I created about test anxiety, or if you get nervous around auditions or job interviews or public speaking. Aceanytest.com is another way, and from there you can find my email and connect with me there.
Okay, thank you so much. Please do connect with Craig, as I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. And if you like this podcast and you want more episodes like this, then please leave a review and share with a friend or family member. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for the invitation. It was a fun conversation.